This episode is brought to you by Purina and their certified therapy dogs like Hanley. Say hi, Hanley! Hanley is one of 30 therapy dogs Purina has helped get certified to support kids struggling with their mental health. Purina employees are volunteering their time and family pets like Hanley to help make pet therapy more accessible to patients, students, and kids like me. Learn more about Purina's pet therapy program at purina.com/mentalhealth.
It's Thursday, September 8th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the unthinkable happened last night. One-run lead heading into the ninth inning. You hand the ball to Emmanuel Clase, and up until this point, this season, that was pretty much an automatic. Clase lost the strike zone, walked the first two batters he faced. He gave up his first run in something like 14 appearances, and eventually, walk-off sacrifice fly to Salvador Perez after an intentional walk to Bobby Witt Jr. And the Kansas City Royals walk off the Cleveland Guardians in the finale of their three-game series here at Kauffman Stadium, 2-1. And instead of heading to Minnesota for an off day, feeling good about themselves, the Guardians have to think about the one that got away.
Yeah, definitely. Just a tough, tough loss, Joe. If you only score one run, though, you know, you can't really blame Class A or the bullpen or Cody Morris. I thought they strung together that bullpen game very, very well. I mean, I've got to lay this one on the offense. You can't score more than one run against the worst pitching team in the American League. You know, that's on you, really. And it's just a shame that, you know, it came down to the ninth inning. And, you know, Class A, like you said, it's been automatic. He's facing the bottom of the order, and he walks the first two guys he faces, and right then you knew he was in trouble.
Yeah, it was definitely a different feel for Class A. He kept missing to pretty much the same location, and it was consistent. He couldn't get that call low below the zone. And it was it turned out, you know, put two guys on base and set up a bunt situation. You thought maybe after they laid down the sacrifice bunt that he could get a ground ball double play and get out of it. But MJ Melendez came through with a base hit up the middle, and we're just not used to seeing that off of Class A in this bullpen. We'll get into the bullpen and how good they've been to this point. But first, like you said, you got to mention the offense. It was Oscar Gonzalez, a couple of doubles. He doubled in the fourth inning, moved to third base on a ground out, and then Owen Miller drives him home with a bloop double to center field. And that was it. Cleveland's offense went 2-for-5 with runners in scoring position. They stranded, five runners on base. But really, there was not much traffic. It was Zach Greinke again, able to come out and be Zach Greinke against them for the most part. He did, Tito said after the game, he did all his usual, the fundamental things that he does right, fields his position well, holds runners on base. And, you know, the Guardians had a base runner thrown out at second, Andrés Giménez, on a steal attempt. So, it's a frustrating loss, not because of what the bullpen did, but because of what the offense didn't.
Yeah, exactly, Joe. And the whole series, you know, I mean, we should be used to this, but the whole series, they had 30 hits in this series, the Guardians. Five of them, or six, went for extra bases, one home run, and, five doubles. And you're lucky to go win two out of three when you do that. And it's just, you know, it's no surprise this is the way the offense is built, but you know, when you get that great pitching like they got, it's tough to watch. It's tough to watch when you can only, you know, score one run. And even last night, the eight hits, they out hit the Royals 8-6, But the only extra base hits are the two doubles by Gonzalez, and you're just not going to win a lot of games like that.
No, and you know going into the game that it's going to be a bullpen game. You know that Cody Morris is limited to about 60 pitches as a rookie, as a starter coming off an injury. You know they're trying to get a look at him here in this opportunity to pitch with Aaron Civale and Zach Plesac sidelined. Cody Morris gave you more than enough, more than what you were maybe expecting out of him. Four innings, only allowed three hits, walked one, struck out two. He looked like a completely different pitcher from the guy who made his major league debut against Seattle last week. And then you got into that bullpen, which has been pretty much the best bullpen in baseball since the All-Star break. And they gave you four innings of really just they sort of walked that razor's edge the whole time. Because guys like Trevor Stephan, bailed out James Karinchak, who walked a couple of guys. And, Brian Shaw then came in and bailed out Trevor Stephan an inning later after Trevor Stephan gave up a walk and a hit. They all sort of passed the torch on to each other and really strung it together. And you'd think handing the ball off to Class A there in the ninth, it's case closed. But, like Tito said, he showed that he's human, I guess, is the result. And, you just hope that this doesn't snowball into something for Class A. The next time he goes out there, he can get the job done again and gets right back on track.
Yeah, that was broke a string of streak of 25 straight saves for him. The longest by a Cleveland reliever since Jose Mesa had 38 in 1995, 38 straight saves. He was on a roll. I mean, he walked three guys, Joe. I don't think this guy's walked, he had eight walks total for the season coming into the game, I think, or seven walks total coming into the game. So just an uncharacteristic night by Class A. It usually happens. It happens to the best closers. Usually most closers blow, five to six saves a year. I think this was Class A's third blown save. So it happens, and you just got to roll on. And, you're right. I mean, you just got to come back from that. And he's shown no signs. He hasn't, last year, he would have a little – he'd get on a streak where there would, things like that would happen. But we haven't even seen, any indication of that. So hopefully this is a one and done, and he gets back to, his normal way, normal routine of slamming the door.
Yeah, they had let Karinchak close out the game the night before because they were trying to stay away. They had pitched Class A three games in a row and wanted to give him a break. And Karinchak pitched on Tuesday night, got the save. It seems silly to think that would have any effect on Class A at all. And I don't think it did. But, you sort of broke that string by not giving him the opportunity to get the save there the night before, and who knows, he comes out in a one run game, 1-0 is like Tito said, it was a really tough way to win a ball game, especially when you're on the road and the other team gets a chance there. You got to look at just the effort of this bullpen since the All-Star break and the numbers going into last night's game. Pretty outstanding, pretty, they jump off the page. Heading into the game, the bullpen led the majors since the All-Star break with a 1.95 ERA, 2.57 fielding independent pitching, and 0.96 whip, walks and hits per inning. The opposing OPS was only 5.48, which is crazy to think for your bullpen coming into the game. They ranked second in strikeout rate, 28.7%, and they were on pace to set the franchise record for post All-Star break ERA for a bullpen. That's held by the 1954 bullpen at 2.17. So really just a historic stretch by this bullpen. And really, other than the two runs that they gave up last night, you think they did the job last night.
Yeah, it went from, you know, Sam Hentschens has really pitched well. He relieved Morris. Then you go to Aniel De Los Santos, Karinchak. Karinchak pitched for like the fourth time in 5 days. And, you know, he walked three guys, but he kept his scoreless inning streak intact. Then, like, you know, and then, you know, Trevor Stephan comes in and throws a scoreless inning. Shaw comes in and gets the last two outs in the eighth. And Shaw was throwing 96 to 97 miles an hour. That's the best he's looked in a long time. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, Class A stubbed his toe there.
Yeah, I waited around. I wanted to talk to Brian Shaw after the game, but he was already on the bus by the time I got to the clubhouse, and you know, they were ready to get on their flight to Minnesota. So I'll catch up with him you know, before the Twin series. But that was a pretty outstanding effort coming in to bail out Trevor Stephan, who had gotten in some trouble in that inning. He came up and cleaned up the eighth with the final two outs there, got a strikeout, big strikeout, and got out of the game, or got out of the inning. Yeah, you can't fault the bullpen for what they did. And Class A, obviously, you want to give him a little more credit just based on his body of work. I want to go back to the decision there that was talked about after the game, the decision to intentionally walk Bobby Witt Jr. With the base open to face Sal Perez with the bases loaded. Sal Perez, the only guy who really did much offensively for Kansas City. He was 2-for-4 last night with obviously the sacrifice fly, the run driven in. You know, in that situation, do you agree with the strategy? You know, you're maybe playing for the ground ball double play to get out of the game, or at least get out of the inning tied. And Perez is probably easier to double up than Witt.
Yeah, I thought that was that made sense to me. You know, Class A has rolled a lot of double plays. I think he's 9 or 10 double plays when he's in the game. Remember that series against the Rockies, that 4-game series? I think right. He got 4 straight saves, and every game ended with a double play. So, you know, I think, you know, he, that sinker, you know, produces a lot of ground balls. It just, you know, Perez got under it and, you know, drove it just far enough. And Miles Straw still made a pretty good throw home, but he wasn't going to get Nicky Lopez.
No, that's a big ask right there. But, yeah, I think, you know, from the Royals' perspective, they kind of think of it as, you know, Sal Perez is the guy who carries their offense, and the young guys on that team really sort of look to him. And in that moment, he stepped up and, you know, got the job done. And that it's not like he needed any more credibility in that clubhouse than he already has. But it certainly goes a long way for that team when they see, you know, pretty much their big hitter come through in that big situation.
Yeah, and you kind of, you know, that motivates a guy like Perez, I'm sure, when they walk somebody intentionally to get to him in that kind of situation. And that's a tough choice. But I think, you know, Perez doesn't run well. You got a double, you know, the double play is set at any base, and it just didn't work out.
Right. Yeah. So what does that mean for the standings and what happens to the Guardians? Hold on first place there. Well, it is pretty much a wash. The Guardians find themselves on this off day now, 2 games ahead of Minnesota. There was a chance there to be 2.5 ahead, but the loss took care of that. Minnesota goes in and gets swept in a doubleheader at New York. The Yankees come back with a walk-off in game one in extra innings. And then they get a grand slam from Isaiah Kiner-Falefa in game two, and they hold on to beat the Twins 5-4 in the second game. Every time the Twins see a Yankees uniform, it neutralizes them. They can't do anything. I think there's something like 2-25 or something like that against the Yankees since 2015. They're really ridiculous numbers. So they've got one more matchup on Thursday before they head home to face the Guardians. Cleveland's lead could be 2.5 by the time they step on the field on Friday.
Yeah, that's not a bad way to do it. And you can't, when you only score one run, you can't really complain about picking up a half game in the standings. But, you know, the opportunity was there to really go in with to have a 2.5 game lead today with the Twins getting swept. But hey, I think they'll take their position right now, and it's just going to be an interesting series. And Joe, didn't Isaiah Falefa? I mean, didn't he start the season with the Twins? Didn't they trade him? You know, they traded him to the Yankees, didn't they?
Yeah. He was in the deal for Gio Urshela and Gary Sanchez. But you know, just looking at all that, you're thinking about the Twins, but right now the White Sox are also two games behind. They've got one more win and one more loss than the Twins. The White Sox 69-68, the Twins 68-67, the Guardians 70-65. So both the Twins and the White Sox are two games back of Cleveland right now. The White Sox beat Seattle on the road in Seattle. They beat them 9-6 yesterday. And, you know, that's a place where the Guardians really couldn't come up with a win. But White Sox scored, three runs in a run in the eighth, two in the ninth to break a 6-6 tie and beat the Mariners. Just you got to start to think about and keep an eye on that White Sox lineup. The Guardians still play them, what, three more games in Chicago?
Four more, one in Cleveland and three in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting about that one game that they have to play on the day that was supposed to be an off day for everybody, but now is a noon start in Cleveland. Eloy Jimenez drove in three runs yesterday for the White Sox, so just got to keep an eye on them as well. If that's a team that could get hot in a hurry and has the firepower to sort of, you know, run right past both Cleveland and Minnesota.
Yeah, they're 6-4 in their last 10. The Twins are 4-6, and the Guardians are 3-7. So they're the hot, you know, the White Sox are the hottest team, you know, amongst the AL Central contenders. So, you know, you keep thinking they're done, but they're not, and they really haven't hit that hot streak yet. So maybe they still, you know, with 28, 27 games to go, who knows? I mean, you can't just turn a blind eye to them. You've really got to pay attention to them. And, you know, fortunately, Cleveland has four more games with them, so they can, you know, maybe decide their fate against the White Sox.
Curious that they get hot, you know, when Tony La Russa is not on the bench. That's just strange to me. I wonder how that happens.
Yeah, all they had to do was put La Russa in the hospital and they get going. I didn't mean any bad.
No.
I
understand. We don't want to put that out there. Looking over in the National League, I guess the only other race to mention right now is the National League East, where the Mets and the Braves are really sort of neck and neck there. The Braves a half game back. The Mets are up 87-51. Atlanta 86-51. Atlanta's won 7 straight. The Mets have won 2 in a row. And really, it's a case of the Mets had a 10 game lead at one point, and now that's down to, you know, practically nothing.
Yeah, that's a big race and a good race. And our buddy Tyler Naquin might be in for, you know, to have a really a big influence in that race for the Mets, Joe. Starling Marte has a displaced fracture of the middle finger on his right hand. He got hit by a pitch, and Naylor's going to start getting some more playing time with the Mets. So, you know, we'll have to watch him. I think he had a big game last night, and So maybe he'll have an influence on that club and help them, win the NL East.
Yeah, that It depends on which Tyler Naquin they get. Is it the Tyler Naquin that showed up in Cincinnati after Cleveland cut him loose and sort of reinvented himself out there in the outfield? I think that's who the Mets are banking on using to replace Marte. But Starling Marte is a tough guy to replace in that lineup the way that he was hitting the ball in pretty much all season and all last year. So very interesting to follow. And yeah, it's nice to keep up with Naquin, a good guy to talk to in the clubhouse. Always had fun, covering him. All right, heading into this this Twin series beginning on Friday. We will preview it tomorrow morning on the podcast and get you ready for all the matchups and what to expect. Poinsie, we will talk to you then.
All right, Joe.